This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So change my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of The Power of Dhikr. Today we're going to talk about the most noble of all of the forms of knowledge and the most beloved of all of those forms of knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beautiful form of dhikr and the highest of all of the types of remembrance that a person can do, and this is the knowledge of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the perfect names and attributes of Allah azza wa jal. And these names and attributes are so important to us because they are the most high or the highest form of knowledge, the most beloved form of knowledge, because they relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And knowledge takes its virtue from its subject. You know, when you're talking about medicine, medicine is so beloved to people. People love to be a doctor or to be a surgeon or to be a pharmacist because it relates to human beings and making them better and treating them, and it's so beneficial to society. It's a subject that has a lot of honor, a lot of status. But there is no subject that has a higher status, because there is no topic which is more honorable or more perfect than to talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah's names and attributes, this is a type of knowledge in the dhikr of Allah that you must have. And you must be aware of Allah's names and attributes. You must understand some principles behind Allah's names and attributes, and you must use Allah's names and attributes in your dhikr, in your dua, to make that dhikr and that dua beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make it in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is the most or the highest form of knowledge. Secondly, knowing Allah's names and attributes, it leads you to the love of Allah. It leads you to glorify Allah. It leads you to honor Allah. It leads you to worship Allah as He deserves to be worshipped. Because you only worship Allah as He deserves to be worshipped when you know Him. The more you know about Him, the more you worship Him, the more fearful you are of Him. We've heard some ahadith at the very beginning of these series of episodes on the power of dhikr about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, how would my slaves be if they had seen me? They would worship you even more, the angels reply. So likewise we see the more that they know about, or the more that a slave knows about Allah, the more fearful they are of Him, and the more perfect their worship is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am the most knowledgeable of you about Allah and the most fearful among you of Him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's knowledge of Allah is what made his worship more perfect than our worship. And likewise, his knowledge of Allah is what led to the fear of Allah azza wa jal. And knowledge of Allah leads to worshipping Him. That's why when we look at the Qur'an, we see that there are two reasons given in the Qur'an why mankind was created. لِتَعْلَمُوا, to know, وَلِتَعْبُدُوا, and to worship. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Allah, the one who created the seven heavens and from the earth equal in number to them, so that you may know that Allah Azza wa Jalla is able to do all things, and that Allah has surrounded everything or encompassed everything with His knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He created these heavens and this earth for us to know Him. But not only for us to know Him, but Allah azza wa jal tells us at the end of Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I have only created the men and the jinn and the men to worship me alone. So you have been created to know Allah, and for that knowledge to lead you to worship. And these two ayat are not contradictory. The two reasons that are mentioned are the same reason. Because you can't worship Allah until you know Him. You can't remember Allah until you know who it is you are remembering. And at the same time, your remembrance and your knowledge of Allah, you knowing Allah, you knowing about Allah, it leads you to worship Him. And that's why in the Quran, Allah's rububiyya, Allah's lordship, Allah's names and attributes are mentioned in the context of worshipping Him. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the first command to worship Him, O people, O mankind, worship your Lord who created you and those created those who came before you, so that you may be from the people who fear Him. Notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His lordship, His creation, the fact that He created you, and the fact that He created you leads you to worship Him. And then Allah mentions many of His blessings. He sent down rain from the heavens, and He raised out fruits from the earth, and He made the earth flat for you, and so on and so forth. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ So don't make a partner with Allah when you know. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was asked, what do you mean when you know? He said, when you know that Allah is your creator and your sustainer and your provider and the one who sends down the rain from the heavens, so you don't make a partner with Him. So the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal leads you to worshipping Him, and our sins that we do are because we don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. And if we knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, we would not sin, and so our sins are a result of our ignorance about Allah Azza wa Jal, and our ignorance about His punishment and our ignorance about His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is another reason why we should be focusing upon this, the purpose of our life, to worship Allah based upon the knowledge of Him. Now, there are a few things that we need to mention with regard to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is really, really, really very important for us to understand. And that is, to begin with, that all of the names of Allah and all of His attributes are the pinnacle of perfection. They're absolutely perfect in every single way. There is no aspect of imperfection in any of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names, we see each name is perfect. And when the names are brought together, those names are perfect. In bringing them together, there is a perfection, and each name on its own has perfection. Look at, for example, Allah says that Allah is Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. Why does Allah bring these two names together? Al-Aziz, that Allah is the mighty, the one who is full of power, full of honor, full of majesty. He is infinitely powerful. There's nothing that He can't do. And so is absolutely perfect. His power is perfect. There is no limit whatsoever to the power of Allah. There is nothing that Allah can't do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely powerful and mighty, the most mighty, the almighty. And Allah is Al-Hakim. Allah Azza wa Jal is the most wise. Every single thing that Allah does, even the evil that exists in this earth, has a hikmah, has a wisdom. Even in the creation of Iblis, alayhi la'natullah, there is a wisdom for mankind. There is a benefit and a wisdom. Every single event, every time the wind blows, every time an animal takes even a step, even an ant that crawls upon a rock, every single thing has a wisdom behind it. Allah is Al-Hakim. Everything has a wisdom behind it. And everything is based upon wisdom. So Allah is infinitely and perfectly wise. So there is perfection in Al-Aziz, and there is perfection in the name Al-Hakim. But this perfection that exists in these two names, there is another perfection. And that perfection is the perfection when these two names come together. Because generally, when we hear about people in this dunya who are mighty, what do you get the impression of? You get the impression that their might stops, it's not wise, it's not used wisely. So they are very, very strong, but they use their strength to oppress people. They're very powerful, but they use their power to corrupt people. And then when you hear about someone who is wise, what do you get the impression about? That they are soft, that they don't have any power, you know, that they're very, you know, soft-hearted, that they don't really sort of deal with people when they, you know, someone oppresses them, they can't respond, they're very weak, they're very meek, they're very humble. What about Allah Azza wa Jal? Not only is Allah infinitely powerful and infinitely wise, but Allah's power is used with wisdom, and Allah's wisdom is accompanied with power. So Allah's power is used with wisdom. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exercises His power and His might, then this power and might is not simply used with no concept or no wisdom behind it. It is infinitely wise as well as being infinitely powerful. And Allah's wisdom is accompanied with infinite power. So it's not the wisdom that comes because you're not able to defend yourself. It's the wisdom that comes when you are infinitely able to defend yourself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely mighty and infinitely wise, and His might is used with wisdom, and His wisdom is accompanied by might. So that's a concept of the perfection of Allah Azza wa Jalla's names and attributes. Of course, all of Allah's names and attributes refer to Him. They refer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. They are not different gods that are worshipped besides Allah. Allah is Allah. Allah is Ar-Rahman. Allah is Ar-Rahim. Allah is Al-Malik. Allah is Al-Quddus. Allah is As-Salam. All of these names of Allah, they refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though they refer to Allah, they all have their own meaning. That's because every name has an attribute within it that accompanies it. And these are real things. We don't say that Allah is As-Sami', but He doesn't hear. We don't say that Allah is Al-Basir, but He doesn't see. We don't say that Allah is Al-Aziz, but He has no might. We say, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Sami' and He hears. Allah is Al-Basir and He sees. Allah is Al-Aziz and He is almighty and all-powerful. So Allah's names are backed up by attributes. They have real meanings, individual meanings. As-Sami' is not the same as Al-Basir. Al-Basir is not the same as Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim is not the same as Al-Aziz. But they all refer to the same entity. They all refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's another thing which is very important for us to understand. Of course, there are more more attributes than there are names, and indeed there are more things that people say about Allah which are true than there are attributes. So if you like, there are three circles. The largest circle are things that people say about Allah that are true, such that Allah Azza wa Jal exists and so on and so forth. And then the attributes of Allah that are mentioned in the authentic Quran and the Sunnah, because that's the only place we can take them from, the Quran and the Sunnah, the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then of course, we have the attributes which underpin the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are the smallest group, but those names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very important, of course, to us in our dhikr, in our remembrance of Allah. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we're going to continue the discussion on the names and attributes of Allah in the upcoming episode. I do hope you will join us then for the power of dhikr. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alone and astray. Wash all the filth away and change my dead heart. Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So drink my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of The Power of Dhikr. Today we are continuing our speech or our discussion from the previous episode about the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal and about their relationship to dhikr, and that they are the most the highest form of the remembrance of Allah and the most virtuous of knowledge and the most beneficial of all of the knowledge that a Muslim can gain is the knowledge of Allah's names and attributes. Continuing our discussion, it's very important that we understand that Allah's names and attributes don't have a fixed number. Allah's names don't have a fixed number. There is a hadith, an authentic hadith, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has 99 names, whoever... And the word here is ahsaha, whoever understands them, implements them, acts upon them, learns them, memorizes them. This is all the meaning of ahsaha. Not just memorizes them, but acts upon them, calls upon Allah with them, will enter paradise. But this hadith does not tell us that Allah has only 99 names. This hadith does not tell us that Allah has only 99 names. It tells us that Allah has many names, from those names are 99. Much like if I say to you, I have a £20 note or a $20 note or a $10 note in my pocket. Just because I have a $10 note in my pocket doesn't mean that I don't have another $10 note in my pocket, or indeed another one or another one. I'm talking about something specific and not making a complete statement. So the hadith, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةٍ وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا, that Allah has 99 names, it doesn't say إِنَّمَا. It doesn't say that Allah has only 99 names. So Allah has many, many, many names, and from this we can see that the names in the Quran and the authentic Sunnah are more than 99, and indeed that Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned that there are names that we don't know. There are names that will be taught to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the Day of Judgment. There are names that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has kept in the unseen with Him. And this is part of the dua that, O Allah, I call upon you with every name that is yours, that you named yourself, or that you taught to anyone, or you sent down in your book, or you taught to any one of your slaves. أَوِ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي الْعِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ, or you kept it in the unseen with you. So there are names of Allah Azza wa Jal that we do not yet know, and there are names in the Quran and the Sunnah which exceed 99 names. It's also very important that we take the names of Allah from the Quran and the Sunnah, the authentic Quran and the Sunnah. And in this point, it's worth us mentioning that the 99 names that are mentioned on the posters and the 99 names that are mentioned in the hadith of Jami' al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, these names are not from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what we call in the science of hadith, idraj, al-mudraj. And what happened was, the narrator was narrating the hadith about the names of Allah, and he said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ عِسْمًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, whoever learns them will enter paradise. And then the shaykh himself, not the Prophet ﷺ, the person who was teaching in the masjid, said, they are, and he began to say, they are Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jab, and he continued. These names were from the effort of the shaykh in the masjid, not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what happened was something we call idraj, which means that the students, or some of the students who were listening, they did not distinguish that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statement had finished and the explanation of the shaykh had begun. So what they did is they mixed the two, and they said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they are. And that's where these posters of the 99 names are made from. And these posters contain names which are not from the names of Allah at all. Like Ar-Rashid. Ar-Rashid is not a name of Allah Azza wa Jalla. In any form, there is not one single hadith or ayah to suggest that Allah Azza wa Jalla's name is Ar-Rashid. That's just to give you a simple example. So we must be very careful with the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, that we take them from the Quran and from the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's something that we need to be aware of. There are some principles with regard to the names and attributes of Allah that we also need to be aware of when we remember Allah using His names and His attributes. One of those, and this is extremely important, is that we affirm for Allah what Allah affirms for Himself or Himself, and what His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirms for Him. So, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim." He is the all-hearing and He is the all-knowing. So we affirm that Allah is as-sami'. We affirm that Allah is the all-hearing. We affirm that Allah is described as hearing. We affirm that Allah hears. Likewise, Allah is Al-Alim. We affirm that Allah is the all-knowing. We affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge. And we affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that has happened and everything that will happen and everything that is happening now and everything that hasn't happened, what would happen if it had happened. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is infinite in every single way, and we affirm that. We also affirm what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Allah. So in an authentic dua, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Adhhib al-ba'sa rabb an-nas, O Lord of mankind, make the sickness go away. Ishfi wa anta shafi, cure and you are Ash-Shafi. So the name Ash-Shafi doesn't come in the Quran, but it comes in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah is Ash-Shafi, the one who is the curer, the one who brings about the cure. And in reality, we treat people with medicine, but we don't cure them. Allah is the one who cures them. And so we affirm what Allah affirms for himself, and we affirm what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirms for him. And we negate what Allah negates for himself. And we negate what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam negated about him. So Allah tells us in Ayatul Kursi, for example, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Allah is not afflicted or affected by slumber or sleep. So Allah does not slumber and Allah does not sleep. So just like Allah said, he does not do those things, then we say that Allah does not do those things. Allah says, وَمَا رَبُّكَ, and your Lord is not, or وَرَبُّكَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ, your Lord is not oppressive to the slaves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to oppress any of his slaves. This comes several times in the Quran. So we again affirm that Allah does not oppress his slaves. We affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely just and infinitely wise. So we affirm, not only do we negate what Allah negates, but we affirm the opposite. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he does not sleep, that means Allah has the most perfect form of life, and that is the meaning of the word Al-Hay, the name Al-Hay, that Allah has the most perfect form of life, that he has no beginning and no end, and he never dies, he never rests, and he never slumbers or sleeps. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he is not oppressive to his slaves, we affirm that Allah is infinitely just. So we not only negate, but we affirm the opposite. And the same is true for those things which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam negated about Allah Azza wa Jal, and said they were not true about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we come to really what is a very important point in terms of the names and attributes of Allah, that in these names and attributes we avoid four things. And these four things are the root of misguidance when it comes to remembering Allah and the names of Allah. These are the real problems. Four things. The first thing is what we call ta'atil. And ta'atil is to deny the name of Allah, one of the names of Allah or his attributes, or to say that the name has no meaning, or to completely disconnect Allah from his names and attributes, as was done by some of the misguided sects of Islam. So we don't deny Allah's names and attributes. Whatever Allah affirms, we affirm. Whatever the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirms in the authentic sunnah, whether it is mutawatir or whether it is ahad, whether it is narrated by many people or only a few, if it's authentic, we affirm for Allah what he affirmed for himself and what his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed for him, and we don't deny them. And we don't compare Allah azza wa jal to his creation. We don't do what is called tamthil, where we compare Allah Azza wa Jal to his creation. So we don't take the names of Allah Azza wa Jal and say that Allah is similar to us. Allah sees like we see. Allah hears like we hear. No, Allah Azza wa Jal hears and sees in a way that is befitting to his majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, we must be careful we don't fall back into ta'atil by denying it. So we say, yes, Allah sees. And yes, we know what it means to see. And we understand what it means to see. It's very clear, very simple. Seeing is seeing. We know what seeing means. We know what hearing means. But we don't know, for Allah Azza wa Jal, we don't compare Allah to his creation. And this brings us to the third thing. We don't ask how. So we don't say about Allah Azza wa Jal, how does Allah see? Because you can only know how something happens if you see something, or if you compare it to something else, or if you have knowledge from a reliable source. So we haven't seen Allah, we won't see Allah until we die, and we don't have anything to compare Allah to, because Allah is not comparable to his creation, and also we do not have any reliable source of information from Allah, from his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about how Allah does things. And then finally, we don't misinterpret. We don't do what is called ta'wil, or what is called sort of figuratively interpreting or misinterpreting the names of Allah. We take them as they come upon the apparent meaning of the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is very important, because Allah has sent down this Quran in a pure Arabic tongue. Allah has sent down this Quran in a pure Arabic tongue. And it's not possible for us to believe that the Quran itself has ayat that have no meaning, or ayat whose meaning is completely opposite to the meaning that we understand. This would not be clarity, and this would not be something which was befitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, when Allah says something, He says what He means. And this is very clear in the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal, when He speaks, we understand His speech according to the apparent meaning that we receive from the ayah, according to the apparent and the clear meaning which is known in Arabic. But at the same time, we don't compare Allah to His creation, we don't ask how. So for example, let's take a simple example just to wrap this up so that we understand when we're doing our dhikr, how we approach the names and attributes of Allah. Let's take a simple example. Let's take the example of Allah Azza wa Jal rising above the throne. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshi istawa. Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, has risen above the throne. The word istiwa is well known to us. We know what it means. It means to rise, to rise up, to elevate. These are all the meanings of istiwa. We know what it means, basically. When I say to you, rising up, you understand what it means. But at the same time as you understanding what it means, you don't say that it is similar to the way that we rise up, or the way that we stand up, or the way that we climb, or the way that we ascend. It's not similar, because Allah, there is nothing similar to Allah Azza wa Jal. And at the same time, you don't ask how Allah Azza wa Jal does that particular thing, because we don't know. Allah knows how He does something and we don't know. And we, of course, we don't compare Allah Azza wa Jal to His creation. We don't deny, we don't twist the meaning, and don't ask how. So this is these are principles when it comes to the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal that we understand and we implement them in our dhikr. And the last thing that we're going to mention in this to conclude our topic of the names and attributes of Allah is that we must implement them, which means that when you know this about Allah, you know that Allah is Ar-Rahman, you know that Allah is As-Sami', you know that Allah is Al-Basir, you know that Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Hakim, you have to implement that in your life. So you fear Allah because of His attributes that make you fear Him. You hope in Allah because of His attributes that give you hope. You love Allah because of all of His attributes that give you that understanding. And this is why we use this in our dhikr, and we try to understand the meanings, and we try to really get into implementing the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal in our lives. And that is the meaning of man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. The one who learns them, memorizes them, understands their meaning, and acts upon them will enter paradise. That's all we have time for in this episode, inshallah. Please do join me for a future episode of The Power of Dhikr. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wash all the filth away and change my dead heart. Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So change my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Wash all the filth away and change my dead heart. Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So change my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of The Power of Dhikr. Continuing our discussion about the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, today, insha'Allah ta'ala, we're going to be talking about the difference between the different names of Allah Azza wa Jal and Allah's greatest name, and how we call upon Allah with His greatest name, and what the greatest name of Allah Azza wa Jal is. We mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have a fixed number of names. So we mentioned that there are more than 99 names of Allah, and the evidence for this was mentioned in the previous episode. Inshallah ta'ala today, looking and building upon that, then we look at the fact that the names of Allah Azza wa Jal are not the same. There are names that are better than others. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was asked about this, rahimahullah, and he said that this idea or this statement that there is no preference names which are better than others is a statement which has no proof for it. Because the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal are of many different types, and they are also, some of them are preferred to others, as the evidence for this is found in the Quran and in the Sunnah and in Ijma, along with sound intellect, consensus along with sound intellect. And specifically regarding the preference of the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, we hear about Ismullah al-A'zam, the greatest name of Allah. The greatest name of Allah. And this is mentioned in several of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From these hadith is that which Al-Imam Ahmad narrated in his Musnad, along with the Imams of the four Sunan, from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him. And this hadith, that is the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard a man say, Allahumma inni as'aluka, O Allah, I ask you by the fact that you all praise, bi anna laka alhamd, I ask you by the fact that all praise is due to you, la ilaha illa ant, wahdaka la sharika lak, I ask you by the fact that all praise is to you, there is no God except for you, alone and with no partner, al-mannan, the one who blesses us with all of the blessings that he gives us and constantly gives to us and constantly blesses us without us having done anything to deserve it. And then he said, Badi'u samawati wal ard, the one who was the creator of the heavens and the earth with no previous example, Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, the owner of majesty and honor, the mighty and the majestic, and the one who has all majesty and all honor, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard when this man said this, he said to him, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ اللَّهِ بِإِسْمِهِ الْأَعْظَمِ, or بِإِسْمِهِ الْأَعْظَمِ, you have asked Allah by his greatest name, أَلَّذِي إِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابِ, the name that if he is called upon with it, he answers, وَإِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى, and if he is asked a question, or he's asked something, that you ask Allah Azza wa Jal for something, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. And at the end of the narration of Abu Dawood and Al-Imam Al-Nasa'i is the addition that the man said, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. This hadith is in addition to a further hadith narrated by Ibn Majah and Al-Hakim and others from Abi Umama radiallahu an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ismullah al-A'zam, الَّذِي إِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابِ, the name, the greatest name of Allah, the name that if he is called upon with it, he will answer, is in three surahs of the Qur'an, or can be found in three particular surahs of the Qur'an, in Al-Baqarah, and in Ali Imran, and in Taha. And likewise, Al-Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawud and Al-Tirmidhi narrated from Asma bint Yazid, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the greatest name of Allah is in these two ayahs, wa ilahukum ilahun wahidun la ilaha illahu ar-rahmanur rahim, that your Lord is one Lord, there is no God worthy of worship except him, and he is ar-rahman ar-rahim, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. And in the beginning of Ali Imran, Alif Lam Mim, Allahu La Ilaha Illa Huwa Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. And there are other ahadith in this regard. Now the scholars of hadith, therefore, when they looked at all of these hadith, they came to compare all of them together and put down all of them on the table together and look at which name is the greatest name of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in this, Suyuti, rahimahullah, he mentions more than 20 opinions. But the most common, and the one which the scholars of hadith and the scholars of aqidah say is the most likely to be true, and is the closest to being true, and the one that is most in accordance with all of the different hadith, is that the greatest name of Allah Azza wa Jal is Allah. Likewise, there is also an opinion that it is Allah, الذي لا إله إلا هو. And likewise, there is an opinion that it is Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about these three opinions. Of course, we've said that inshaAllah ta'ala, the closest of them towards the truth, in my opinion, is that the greatest name of Allah Azza wa Jal is the name Allah. But let's look at those three, because each of those three give us a very unique understanding of how we put the names and attributes of Allah into practice in our dhikr, and how we come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal by mentioning His greatest name. So let's look at the word Allah. Sibawi, who was one of the great scholars of the Arabic language, he said that the name Allah is A'raful Ma'arif. It is the most clearly defined name of any single name. It is the most clearly defined noun of any noun, and the most clearly defined name of any name. Why? If you look at the name, let's say Muhammad or Ahmed, that's a name. And I say Muhammad, or I call out Ahmed, can you help me please? Could you come here please, for example? When I call out these names, there are other people who have these names. Yes, you may see from my gesture, from my indication that I'm calling a particular person, but there are other people who have these names. As for Allah Azza wa Jal, it is mentioned that not even in falsehood has anyone ever used the word Allah as a name for themselves. Not even the false gods took the name Allah. So when you say the name, when you say God, for example, if I say to you God, many people understand different things by God. So if I say God to a Christian, he understands the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If I say God to a Hindu, he may understand something completely different. To a Buddhist, something completely different. To a Jew, something completely different. But when I say Allah, there is no doubt whatsoever about who I am referring to. Also, from the things which is very important for us to understand about the name Allah and the word Allah, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this word Allah, it encompasses the meanings of all of the other names and attributes within it. So every single name and attribute of Allah that we use in our dhikr is contained within the name Allah. And it is, that's why it is from the most comprehensive of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it is the most comprehensive name of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single name of Allah, the meaning is contained within Allah. And Allah is the one true God who nobody deserves to be worshipped but Him. Nobody deserves to be worshipped but Him. Because Al-Ilah is something which is worshipped, a God, which the God which is worshipped, the only true God which is worshipped, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the only one true God that is worship, that nobody deserves to be worshipped but Him. Also, from the benefits of the name Allah is that it can't be made plural, nor can it be made feminine. So you can't say Allah's with a plural. There is no way in Arabic to say it, there's no way in English to say it. Allah, it is the definition of Tawheed. The essence of Tawheed is contained within the word Allah. Let's look at Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. And even though we think the opinion that Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum is one of the names of Allah is perhaps a little bit weaker, but let's take a look at it, because Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum gives us another vital meaning. And that is that all of the names of Allah and all of the attributes of Allah, they come back to Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. Like they all come back to Allah, they come back to Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. But Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum, they're divided into two. And Al-Hayy is the ever-living, the one who has the most complete form of life, because he has no beginning, nor does he have any end. He was not born, nor did he give birth to anybody. He did not beget any children. He has the most perfect form of life. He does not sleep, he does not slumber, he doesn't feel tired, he doesn't ever lose concentration. Therefore, he is Al-Hayy, the ever-living, whose life is the essence, is absolutely perfect, the essence of perfection. This is what the meaning of Al-Hayy is. And Al-Qayyum is the one who is the sustainer of all of his creation, as in that he is the one that keeps all of his creation alive, that allows them to continue in their lives, and all of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for us, they come under the name Al-Qayyum. So Al-Hayy, all of the things that relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in himself, such as those things which relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ever-living, those things which relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in himself, all of them are contained within Al-Hayy. Al-Hayy. And likewise, all of the names of Allah that relate to Allah's actions towards us, Allah's mercy, Allah's kindness towards us, Allah's sort of giving us all of these blessings and providing for us, and the rizq that He gives to us, all of them are contained within the name Al-Qayyum. So we see that in Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, we have the understanding of all of the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, the names of Allah that relate to Himself, and the names of Allah Azza wa Jal that relate to His actions towards us. And Allahu Alladhi La Ilaha Illa Hu, emphasizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who there is no God worthy of worship except for Him, and that there is nobody who deserves to be worshipped, no tree, no sun, no moon, no star, no prophet, no angel that deserves any form of worship besides Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are vital parts of our adhkar, vital parts of our dhikr. They come again and again in our dhikr, in our adhkar. We need to try to use them, and especially the greatest name of Allah, which seems to be, and Allah knows best, the name Allah. So we need to make sure that we use this in our dhikr in an appropriate way, in a way that is in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's all we have time for in this episode. Please do join us for a future episode of The Power of Dhikr. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Make me alive again, give me a fresh start. So drink my heart, please, wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Wash all the filth away, unchange my dead heart. Make me alive again, give me a fresh start. So drink my heart, please, wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of The Power of Dhikr. In the previous episodes of The Power of Dhikr, we've been looking overall at some of the principles and some of the rules and some of the things that we need to be aware of when we are remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, some of the virtues of remembering Allah, the importance of remembering Allah, how the prayer, how the Quran, how the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal fits into our remembrance of Allah. Now what we're going to do is we're going to move on to the practical side of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the practical side of dhikr. And to do this, we're actually going to look at a topic that is in between the two. It has some theoretical aspects to it, and it has some practical aspects to it as well. And that is to look at those four words, those four phrases, which are from the most beloved of speech to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar. We see from the virtue of these four phrases that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they are the most beloved of speech to Allah. So Al-Imam Muslim narrates in his Sahih from the hadith of Samurah, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the most beloved of speech to Allah is four things. Four things. Doesn't matter which one of them you begin with. So they are all equal, doesn't matter whether you begin with one or the other, in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, whichever one you begin with, it doesn't do you any harm. They are, Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. They are, Subhanallah, and Alhamdulillah, and La ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar. And these are the four words, the four phrases that we are going to be looking at, inshaAllah, over the next couple of episodes, inshaAllah ta'ala, and trying to understand their virtue and why they should form such a huge part of the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal that we do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith that there are four words or four phrases that they are from the most beautiful of speech, min atyabil kalam, from the most pure and the most beautiful and the best of speech, and they are from the Quran, and it doesn't matter which of them you begin with. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that these four phrases are more beloved to him than everything in this world. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Abu Huraira, which is narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, for me to say Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, is more beloved to me than everything which the sun rises upon. Think of everything good in this earth. Subhanallah, all of the wealth, all of the bounties, all of the things, all of the land, all of the power that people accumulate. And yet to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was more beloved for him to say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. In the hadith of Hani, may Allah be pleased with her, she mentioned that she had become old, and she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for something that she could do that would be easy for her regardless of her age. Now this is very important, because we go through times of sickness, we go through times of health, we go through times of becoming older, and we're not always able to do all of the things that we used to do. Perhaps we're not able to do all of the prayers that we used to do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, say Subhanallah 100 times. For this 100 times will be equal to 100 slaves that you free from the children of Ismail. Subhanallah. As though you had freed 100 slaves from the children of Ismail. And say Alhamdulillah 100 times. And this will be like 100 horses that you send out and you have laden them. You know, they are full and they are carrying their full weight for the sake of Allah. Subhanallah. Imagine who can give that amount of wealth. How many of us can give the wealth that is equivalent to 100 laden horses going out for the sake of Allah? It's very, very difficult to imagine a person being able to afford that kind of wealth. Very few people. And yet all she had to do is to say Alhamdulillah, only to say Alhamdulillah 100 times. He said, say Allahu Akbar 100 times, because it will be like 100 camels that are full and that are, you know, that are again fully laden, that are going out and given in charity, that are being sacrificed in charity. Again, how many of us can even sacrifice one or two camels to give out in charity? But to sacrifice 100 camels, that is something which is again something which most people are unable to do. And then he said, and say La ilaha illallah 100 times. And he said the narrator of the hadith said, I think that he said that it will fill that which is between the heavens and the earth. And nobody will be able to do an action on that day except that he does the same thing that you did. In other words, nobody will be able to do anything better unless he does the same that you did. There are so many benefits of this hadith. But I do want to focus on something, and I do want to sort of give a warning out and just to explain to people very briefly that the numbers mentioned in this hadith are authentic, 100 times. But many people invent numbers that are not authentic. So they say this 700 times, say this 800 times, say this 1001 times. This is not allowed in Islam, because as we mentioned at the beginning of our discussion of dhikr, at the very first episode, or during the very first episode, we said that your dhikr will only be accepted if it's in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whenever you give a specific number for your dhikr, like 100 or 33 or whatever it may be, or 10 or whatever it may be, make sure that that number has a basis in the sunnah. So this has a basis in the sunnah. Now look at what he offered her for simply saying those few words. Subhanallah 100 times, Alhamdulillah 100 times, La ilaha illallah 100 times, Allahu Akbar 100 times. To fill that which is between the heavens and the earth, 100 camels that are sacrificed, 100 horses that go out, 100 slaves that are freed, for simply saying these few words. That is such a huge reward for a deed which is really very, very easy for everyone to do regardless of their age. From the virtues of these words is that they forgive the sins. They wipe out the sins. And this is authentically narrated in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there is no person on the earth who says La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa